Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Good Monday afternoon, everyone. Hope you all are having a great, great start to your week out there. Thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon. Your host, James, behind the mic, going to be joined by our partner around here, Randy Palm, any moment. Looking forward to Randy being able to hang out with us. Talk some local high school sports and much more with Randy, because we're going to be doing that. We'll be going over the WIAA playoffs, how our local teams did. Speaking of local teams, we are going to continue to talk about our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings as their reign through the playoffs continues. All that coming up. Before we get into some of those things, though, as you heard our good friend Mike Clemens talking about in his sports minute there, it is NFL free agency madness. That is the big talk of the town right now. Talk of the town. Anybody still say that? Talk of the we're getting into that a little bit right to kick off our show. Want to talk NFL free agency with you. What are some of the bigger signings, more surprising signings you've seen? What are some of the bad ones you've seen, or just head scratchers, if you will? There's been a lot of moves going on, catching people up a little bit on this. We can't go over everything, but Sam Darnold signed with the Seattle Seahawks on a over $100 million deal. That deal, a little interesting considering it looked like Seattle was selling off a lot of their best pieces, trading Geno Smith to the Raiders for a third-round pick and DK Metcalf to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second-round pick. So I don't know who Sam Darnold's going to throw to just yet, other than they do have a nice rookie receiver over there, but still, interesting moves right there. The New York Jets did not seem like a team that was willing to be secondary in the QB market. They were going to get a bridge quarterback, something like that. Instead, they're giving Justin Fields $40 million. So that was a little surprising, I thought. Looked like Justin Fields' market wasn't as big as maybe him and his team thought, or I just think that the people in the NFL thought, because most people had him highly ranked with the free agency quarterbacks out there, not counting guys like a Matthew Stafford who were questionable to be traded. Speaking of Matthew Stafford, Devontae Adams signing with the Rams. A bit of a surprise to some. I think that there was a number of people who were hoping to see him come back to Green Bay. A couple of other places people might have had him. The one thing I was certain of is that Devontae Adams, I really felt very confident that Devontae Adams was not going to sign where Aaron Rodgers did. I feel like you go back to that well for a while until it stops working. And yeah, that wasn't working last year. So not surprised to see that, especially considering not only the money he was offered, but the situation. Devontae Adams has spent the last couple of seasons in some rough waters, going over to St. Louis, a very well-run franchise and a great offense, like that's tailor-made for him. I think you can make the argument right now in free agency, you know, a lot of these guys are signing big contracts. Nobody's made a better deal for themselves than Devontae Adams right now, considering the money and the situation. But let's find out what you think. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Hey, James.
Hey, man. How you doing?
All not too bad. Boy, everybody's been, you know, listening to some talk shows this morning and this afternoon. Packer fans need to relax. Holy cow. I mean, they're all up in arms because, you know, Cleo Mack, you know, some of the talk show people or even ESPNs and NFL football, they were talking about maybe Cleo Mack coming to Green Bay and he turns around, signs back with the Chargers for a one-year deal. You know, everybody was kind of hoping maybe that DK Metcalf deal would go through for the Packers. And I don't know if that would have been a good deal because Metcalf has been known to have a hot head and maybe not be a good locker room guy. So to me, that was I was fine with them not signing him. You know, and then Reed goes to Detroit and everybody's like, oh, there goes Detroit now. They're going all in. Why can't the Packers? Let me tell you, the couple picks that, you know, the free agents they got here, I think they'll be all right. I mean, they got a guard, so now you're kind of, you could put Jenkins over the center now and probably be okay with on that offensive line. And then the defensive back you pick up, I think everything's going to be just okay for the Packers. I mean, I don't think they are going to sign Alexander. I think he's going to be pretty much done by as of June 1st. I think he'll make, you know, just because of the salary cap. Unless they restructure, I don't know if he's going to ever be back as a Packer. So
it does sound like Gutekunst has come to terms with that. There isn't really doesn't seem like there's much of a trade market for Jaire Alexander. So it does seem like Gutekunst is kind of like closed the door on trading him. I can't imagine them keeping him with that contract, especially as you said there with the signing of Hobbs. I don't see them doing that with two corners. I don't see them overpaying two corners. And Nate Hobbs. All these guys are free agents. All these free agents are overpaid. Every single one of them. No matter who the team is that's signing, you're getting cast offs most of the time. So putting that aside, and putting aside that, I don't know that I was hopeful for the Packers in this situation, and just in kind of bucking a trend, or at the very least giving the fan base something to go on. But I never believed that the Green Bay Packers were going to make any of these big moves for Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or any of these things. I will say I didn't. I also didn't see, though, these two guys signing humongous contracts. I didn't see that coming either. As a side note, I never want to hear another player say it's not about the money. I don't want to hear one player ever say it's not about the money. I don't care if it's about the money. Just don't try to lie to me about it. Don't tell me that can't change your mind, Myles Garrett, or anybody else. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying stop saying it. Nobody's buying it. Nobody believes it. To what the fan base wants, you want to see them do what the Eagles did. You want to see them go out and make a Saquon Barkley move. You want to see them go out and do something big and brass and pull the ESPN headlines from other markets and everything. They did it last year. They signed Josh Jacobs, who is just a step behind Saquon Barkley, maybe a step or two, but not very far behind Saquon Barkley. They wanted something done on defense. They went out and did it. They got Xavier McKinney. They got pieces. While they don't have the best history with early picks, their late round picks are just incredible. They're very nice fits. The problem with all of this is that it's great if you want to finish 10-6. It's great if you want to make it into the playoffs, but nothing that's done right now shows that this is a team that's going to have more wins than they did last year. They've lost pieces at some of the positions. So the things that we're looking at, a playmaker on defense, a guy that can take the top off on offense. All right. Those are reasonable requests. Well, the additions they've made are great. I think Nate Hobbs is a bit of an underrated cornerback. He's the 110th ranked out of 223, but that doesn't tell you that much because of where he was playing and how much he was on the field. The signing of Aaron Banks is that's the top guard in the game, in the free agency. Yeah. Aaron is ranked 50th out of 135, 77th and 135 in pass blocking, and 37th out of 135 in run blocking. He's a good overall blocker, better at running, but that's perfect for the Green Bay offense. And he's young; he's 27. But the other part of that, I think, where the fan base is coming from, it's not that these are bad moves. It's that Green Bay already kind of spent a lot of money on a cornerback. And as far as offenses go, the Packers have the I believe. Let me just double check this to make sure they have the 10th according to Pro Football Focus. They have the 10th ranked offensive line in football.
Right. Yes.
So you just spent $77 million on a an area that some people don't think you need. Now you did lose your center. You're gonna have to move Jenkins over there. That's gonna lead to some things, but. And I agree with you. These are really good moves. I think the two things can be true, though. I think these are really good moves, and it's also understandable that you have a fan base that wants to see them go all in. Now, here's the thing, though, about this, and I always wonder if people really do consider. How do we know they're not trying to? We only get the finished deals. Any reporting that's going on nowadays is hard to. Well, it depends on who you trust. It depends on where you're going with things. To me, let me ask you, and let me ask Randy. I got Randy Paul coming in today, and thank you so much, Randy, for being here. As Packer fans, have they earned the benefit of the doubt? Like, right now, we still got weeks left of free agency. We got months left before the season starts. Who knows what disgruntled wide receiver or defensive end might be traded to Green Bay. That's a possibility, any of these things. But I think the problem for a lot of the fan base is, for some, they've earned the benefit of the doubt, and for some, they haven't. How does that fall for you guys? Randy, where do you land on that?
Well, I'll ask the caller as well. I was good listening to you on the drive over. Just interested as far as, you know, you make this big splash and, you know, it's $30 million a year. But then you think of, like, the Jair Alexanders of the world, and they play half the games only. So if you invest that kind of money, you know, you blow all your salary cap. You know, that's what always concerns me, because it's not like, well, if you only play half the games, we only pay half your salary. It's just, it's all guaranteed. And some of those guaranteed contracts that we're seeing on, that are happening, like with Josh Allen and Myles Garrett, holy buckets, huh?
Here's my thing with that. Real quick, Kev, just jumping in real quick on that.
Okay.
I'm willing to spend when the ceiling is so high. When the ceiling is a Myles Garrett, Josh Allen ceiling. Because every one of these guys, it's just a matter of one play.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of one play and it all going to, you know, and being done. I'm willing to spend the money on those positions. I'm willing to do it, especially when I have evidence that these guys have done it. When we're talking this amount of money on a position that, on positions that you have bigger needs, and where's the ceiling and the floor on these guys? Because the ceiling is possibly a Pro Bowl, and the floor is what you're talking about here, training camp, and they're done. And then that what are you going to do then? So to me, I'm willing to take that risk, because they're all a risk, every one of them. Every athlete in sports is a risk, especially in the NFL. I'm willing to take that risk if the ceiling is to the sky, if the ceiling is that high. I don't know. With Banks, I think you can make the easy argument that it is. I don't know that it is with Hobbs, but you're also, you know, you're trying to get these guys to come to Green Bay, and that sometimes you got to spend a little more to do that, just like Jacksonville or Indianapolis or some other markets. It's and can we all just be honest about one thing too? You can't win for losing.
No.
You really can't. Like, there's going to be a fan base out. There's part of every fan base that is going to love every single thing a team does. Somebody's going to get excited about Gardner Minshew being signed. You know, somebody's going to lose. Yeah. My team brought a Gardner Minshew, you know, or something like that. And there's going to be the fan base that you can never win over. You can never do enough to win. Yeah, they signed this and this, but oh, they didn't do this. Kev, have they earned the benefit of the doubt for you?
I'm one of those guys that just is a wait and see. I'm glad. I'm just looking over what the details were. Was it 4 years, $48 million for Hobbs, and then 4 years for that's true. I just lost it. I'm sorry.
For Banks.
Well, 4 years for 77 for Banks.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Are those loaded at the top end or at the back end, so they can work these contracts a little bit more? The Packers do a pretty good job of watching their cap numbers, so they kind of do a good job of, you know, not going after that big name person. So they put all their money into one guy, and they do a pretty good job of, you know, backloading some of these contracts so that they can readjust them down the road. But you know, then everybody's up in arms, and here's what I'm going to throw this name at you, and you can agree or disagree. They think they need to bring Joey Bosa into the Packers organization. Let me tell you something. If you bring Bosa and you bring in another Jair Alexander, because Bosa does not stay healthy.
No.
You can give all kinds of money, and he's going to be inside. He's not going to play half the season because he's going to be injured.
If you sign Joey Bosa, you sign him and with the agreement you can't come in until week 10. Just to try to keep him healthy, just to try to keep him going and everything.
And he's maybe just like an older Lucas Van Ness, because he's just kind of a bull rusher, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't you think he's going to want to? I think he's going to play with his brother, don't you, in San Fran?
I could see that.
You think he's going to go there? I don't think so.
No.
San Francisco's lost a couple pieces on that line, so I could see that happening. I don't know what's. San Francisco is in a really, really difficult situation of having to sign their quarterback to a mega deal that they don't necessarily believe in. If they did, they'd have done this already. If they believed in him, they'd have signed him already. They're going to have to do that. They're having to let go of mainstays and pieces that they've relied on for the last almost, 6-7 years in during this run that they've had over there. And they've got they're paying so much money to so many older players. They're in a really weird situation over there. I don't know that it feels like they're just a matter of it's just a matter of a year or two before we're talking about them rebuilding.
You know, are they also saying that about, like, with DK Metcalf, that by the time his contract he just signed runs out, he's going to be, like, 33?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like some crazy deal that he got in Pittsburgh.
And that builds off of what you were saying before. You know, if you're looking at the older players, so you have to really backload them, as Kevin was saying, it'd be nice if you could get some of these free agents when they're just at their prime, you know, like 26 right. years old or something.
Which is what they did with Banks. Aaron Banks is 27. And a proven commodity in the NFL and has proven that he can play this game very well. While it's not the sexy wide receiver or cornerback or defensive end or something like that, that's a guy I'd like to see on my team. That's a guy that I think is a really, like, if he was a running back or a wide receiver, we'd be leading our show with it. It'd be the first thing that we'd be talking about. So the fact that he plays guard, yes, it's not as sexy, and yes, it doesn't necessarily, he doesn't score touchdowns, but you can't score him without him.
Keeps the love up, right?
Yeah, yeah, which
huge.
that is worth its weight in gold right there, let alone I imagine that Josh Jacobs is all over this move and very excited about it.
I'm sure Josh was real excited about this.
I don't think that it, especially had we done this show at noon, this would be a very different conversation maybe. But in the last right. 4 or 5 hours with these signings and stuff, I think you're starting to see the fan base loosen up a little bit. And I think there's other things here, too, to keep in mind. I'm seeing some moves where it feels like, okay, we got to shut this fan base up. They're yelling at us too much or anything. And I also wonder how much these, like, for every Jerry Jones that I feel like is very locked into social media and what they're saying on ESPN and some of that, I wonder how many of these owners and these front offices really do listen to the fan base and really do care. And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. I think personally they should. But I also would understand if there was a reason why they weren't.
Yeah, you're going to have 50-50 on that. It's like going to a basketball game, right? You only please half the people half the time, so...
I appreciate Kev. Did you have anything else on free agency or any of the other stuff you wanted to probably talk about?
Well, I would like to get my soapbox if I can.
Oh, please.
Yes, that's what we're here for.
This is pertaining to high school sports. Can you tell me, Randy, what in the world is the WIAA thinking when it comes to
without you even asking the question?
Yeah, you don't even have to finish the question. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, okay, so I'm gonna take it to the girl side first. Okay, so now you have a Rapid Assumption against Pacelli, and they drive to Adams Friendship.
Right.
You can't tell me there's a big enough school that they can put this at closer. I mean, I know it's the Spash, and then you have more Pacelli fans there, and if they would have been at Lincoln, but they couldn't have done it at Lincoln because of the
gymnastics, right.
But, and, you know, and then on the boys' end, Adams ended up playing, and I'm not going to kind of say that because that's kind of my alma mater. They played at home on Tuesday, and then they had to go clear to Bloomer for their next game. How is this any cheaper for these school districts to, you know, I thought the WIAA was going to try to make travels easier and cheaper for these teams, and they're not doing it.
Last year, Assumption had to go way down to Hartford, and Albany Monticello was about 30 minutes away. This year, Assumption goes over to Wapaka, which is a 40-minute drive, and it took the people, I think, talking to the Sevastopol people, 2 hours and 45 minutes. We thought for sure they would move that to the Fox Valley, because then it would be about, you know, equal distance, but they didn't move it again. And I know that the schools have to want to do it. That's one thing. They have to get the people to work there, you know. And that might be one of the bigger obstacles, or finding officials that are in the area that can do the game as well.
I wonder about that one.
So I guess there are things that they have to overcome, and do they look at that as far as the travel? I don't know. I'm not sure, but sometimes you do scratch your head.
Yeah, I mean, they did it in wrestling too, but I mean, you know, this and that was due, you know, when they did the wrestling thing, I think that had, you know, the way they seeded these teams in wrestling, why would you have your number one team in a state go against your number two team state in a second? That should be almost set up for a state final.
I think they are talking about changing that possibly, that they might go to a whole different brand of doing this. I've heard somebody talking about, so whether that actually comes to fruition or not, but they'd have like, it wouldn't even be like these sectionals anymore. It'd be some kind of big tournament or something that they're discussing now. Who knows if that'll happen or not? We don't know.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, you know, it's always been one of my little pet peeves with the WIAA is how they seed these teams. You know, they do it in football kind of goofy, and you know, when you get to the college or the high school basketball and wrestling and hockey, it's just you don't want your top teams in the state to play each other in the regionals, or you want them at the state level.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, like what happened with Kaukaun and Rapid. Basically, they had the state championship game right early in the wrestling tournament.
Yeah, and that's just... That boggles me, but
right. It is weird. I couldn't agree with you more, man. And always appreciate the time, Cap. Thanks for calling
up. Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
You too. I want to get to any local stuff that Randy has here in a minute, because at 5:30, we're going to be welcoming in from Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. We've got Derek Puttick going to be joining us. Oh. We're going to talk to him a little bit. They're AC over there, so they're looking forward to that. And looking forward to not only that, Randy, but also a couple of other things here that we wanted to get into. So just because, boy, I'd love to spend plenty of time talking WIAA. and some of those things. But I want to focus a little bit on, first off, our teams that are not going to be moving on. A big thank you to all of them. First of all, of course, the kids. Anybody remember what it was like in high school and how valuable your time was to you? And how much you didn't want to be bothered by anything. And these kids willingly do this, willingly are putting time and effort into practice, into being out there and doing it. And we appreciate that. I think that it's awesome that they do that. And as a former athlete, I appreciate that, doing these things. Certainly to the coaches, to the refs, to everybody out there, I greatly appreciate all the work that they do all there. And as well, I want to thank not only our sponsors, so we can't do these games without, but also want to thank our announcers and our board operators bringing these games to you. We got plenty of season left. We got a couple of more games, hopefully, left here of playoff information. But I do want to not only do something for the audience to look behind the curtain. I had to ramp there for a second so Randy could go do something. But I had to share.
Yeah.
But I really did want to get this pointed. So you gave me, it was a win-win for
Perfect.
Both of us here, Randy.
Yeah, we
got
to say thanks to our board ops, because without Beth and Seth and Laura, we would never be on the air, so that's a huge shout-out to them.
Mm-hmm. What else you got for us, Ray?
Well, in girls' high school basketball, sectional finals were held this past Saturday, and beginning in Division 5, where the Assumption Royals are headed back to state, as they defeated Sevastopol 61-42 in Wapak on Saturday night. Four different Royals reached double figures as Sarah Shaw poured in 15, Jordan J. Glinski was just a point back at 14, Addie Vollard added 12, and Anna Schooley scored 11. So the rush to the rush begins on Friday morning at 9:05. As the Royals face the fourth-seeded Blackhawks of Owen Withy. Then about 15 minutes after their game, it'll be number 2 Oshkosh Lords versus Barneveld, the third seed in the D5 tournament. Our coverage will begin at approximately 8:50 in the morning on our sister station, FM 105.5 WIRI. Looking at a few other sectional finals that involve teams from our area in Division 4, it was Westfield getting whipped by number 1 ranked The Prairie School, 67-33. In Division 3, Whitburn loses their first game of the season. How tough is that? Just a step before state.
It's rough.
They were eliminated by Xavier, 63-45. Division 2, no area teams in the finals. And in Division 1, Appleton East, who upended Spash, is now headed off to state as they defeated Eau Claire Memorial in double overtime, 68-65. What a way to not get to go to state, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the girls in the sectional finals, the boys, they're in the regional finals on Saturday. Looking at some of the local scores, starting in Division 1, Marshfield, boy, they won a thriller over Spash, 57-56. Eau Claire Memorial, they whipped Wausau West, 53-25. In D2, Wausau East mauled Menominee, 68-35. Mosinee fell at Onalaska, 80-67. And Rhinelander faces New Richmond up in Hodagland tonight. From Division 3, the Dells are moving on as they were 10 better than Lodi, 50-40.
In Division 4, Nakusa was eliminated by 8th-ranked Partyville, 86-51. Auburndale and Stratford will square off on Thursday at 3-dubs as Auburndale's Thomas Owie hit a putback at the buzzer to beat Marathon 51-49, while Stratford had an easy time with Hurley, 64-32. And Westfield, they were upended by Marshall, 84-74. And finally, from Division 5, it's number 1 seed Elmond Bancroft versus number 2 Pacelli right here in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday as AB got past Wabino Leona 56-50, while Pacelli throttled Tigerton 69-36. And Columbus Catholic, who eliminated Assumption in the regional semifinals 60-43, well, they picked up the W over Alma Center Lincoln 50-40. The state gymnastics tournament was also held this past weekend right here in Wisconsin Rapids. In Division 1, Chippewa Falls McDonald Catholic finished first, while Spash came in seventh. And in Division 2, Rice Lake captured the crown, and Marshfield finished in fourth. Individually for Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln, freshman Elsa Ehrman finished 15th on the bars, 17th on the beam. Way to go, Elsa. Mm-hmm. The team state wrestling tournament was held this past weekend down in Madison. Division 1, Kakana finishes an undefeated season as the Galloping Ghosts captured their fifth straight championship, annihilating Arrowhead 54-13. In Division 2, second seed St. Croix Falls clipped top seed Coleman 38-34. And in Division 3, it was also number 2 over number 1 as Mineral Point nipped Wyawega Fremont 32-28. Waymont had a stop Stafford, Stratford earlier in the semis 39-23. We're almost done. More state championships. Both the boys and girls were playing for the state championships in Middleton this past weekend in high school hockey. For the girls, the DePere Co-op captured their second title in 3 years, shutting out Central Wisconsin Storm 8-0. For the boys in Division 1, Madison Edgewood knocked off Green Bay Notre Dame 5-2. And in Division 2, top-seeded Tomahawk won its first ever championship with a 5-3 victory over Amory. And of course, the River Kings, we're going to have a chance to be joined by the assistant coach here. They won Friday, lost in overtime on Saturday, and picked up the deciding victory on Sunday with a whopping 7-2 win.
Looking forward to talking with Coach about that. We'll have Derek joining us in just a few. Randy, rewinding for a second back to the playoffs and Assumption Royals. I don't know. We've gotten spoiled a little bit with these Royals. We've gotten to be in this position a number of times. I don't know the last time I saw this where they were the only number one seed. As far as these other teams, they're well ranked teams, but I don't, and very good teams, by the way. And I'm not taking anything from them. But Owen Withy, I didn't see that coming with them. Yeah. They pulled some upsets there to me and some of that. So it's going to be, that just makes the tournament that much more interesting and that much more exciting, doesn't it?
You know, Barneveld's, they were there. We had that 13-16 4-year run where Rapids won in 13, they won in 16th, Assumption that is, and Barneveld the 2 years in between. Last year they played at Oshkosh against Lourdes, the Royals did, and that was quite a battle. It was nip and tuck the whole way, and then the Royals pulled away in the last couple of minutes, and they won that game, if I remember right, 55-45. They got a lot of kids back, but of course, so did the Royals. They got everybody back as well, so that's going to be quite a clash there. But they knocked off Albany Matsell, the winners last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they beat them by 15, 16 points.
Yeah, decidedly. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And Owen Withy, you're right. They were kind of out on the outside looking in. So for them to get there, exciting for the Blackhawks. So that's Will Faze first because they do reseed. You know, we're talking about that with Kevin. And that's one thing they do. They reseed when it gets to the state tournament. They get down there, which I really like. So that way now one plays four, and that'll happen the first game of the tournament on Friday. And then the second game will be between Barneveld as well as the Lords. And so, you know, if my crystal ball is right, I think it's going to be a repeat of the state, the sectional semis last year between Lords and Assumption.
Which, we are going to be excited for that. That's going to be a great one. We will be following the Royals as long as they keep winning. We're going to keep following them. We'll have those games for you, everybody. And a big thank you to Randy and everybody else's coverage throughout this whole season. It's been great stuff and really good notes there. Thanks, Randy.
You bet.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back with the fourth period. Derek Puttick is going to be joining us, assistant coach with your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, coming up here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Family Natural Foods and Quality Press Printing. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Time for the fourth period. James and Randy here, as we're about to talk Wisconsin Rapids River Kings hockey with everybody. We are being joined right now by Derek Puttick from the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, assistant coach over there. Derek, thanks a lot for being here, man.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Derek, willing to do a shift with us? That's awesome. We appreciate it. I think Derek's a first liner, but I don't know. I don't want to say that if coach is listening. So second line we got in today. We said shout out to our friend and coach Paul and everything. And Derek, thanks so much for being here. I want to talk River Kings hockey, playoff hockey with you in a second. But we don't get to talk to assistant coaches very much. And I know how interested our audience is going to be in some of what your job entails and what you do on the ice and with the team.
I'm as involved as coach needs me to be. I help out with the practice ponds and obviously on the ice, helping out with the on-ice stuff and obviously working the bench. And then we do video work together. Do the off-ice as far as off-ice training. I kind of run the workouts for the boys. It's the players' meetings. Like I say, whatever he needs me to be involved in, I'm there to be of assistance. So,
when it comes to playoff hockey and what happened this weekend, and we had Randy giving us the rundown of the games over the weekend, Saturday night is part of your job keeping coach sane. Just keeping, or maybe a little less insane, maybe a little, because that year, I mean, we're talking hockey players, and growing up with a hockey player, I know what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying an insult. I'm just being honest. We're all a little crazy. That's part of what we love about this game and the people that play it and coach it and everything. But in all honesty, what was Saturday night's vibe like when getting off the ice and the game being done, and not just a loss, but then to a winning streak and possibly, because you don't know how Sunday's going to go at this time, momentum. The one of the biggest things that we look for in playoffs. What was the vibe like in the locker room?
You know what? I think it was a workmanlike vibe. It was, okay, this happened. Now what's next? How do we get ready for tomorrow? Our group's been quite resilient throughout the year, so it wasn't so much of a, oh my God, what's going to happen? It was, we know what we got to do. Let's just get prepared to go to work tomorrow.
This, especially in baseball, but I'm even seeing it in basketball in recent years, and unfortunately, I think I'm starting to hear it with some of the hockey crowd as well, but not nearly as much. This idea that the regular season, well, what does it mean? How important is the regular season and some of that? What we're talking about, how this team responded Saturday night, is built in the regular season. That's the kind of mentality, everything you're talking about there, that workman mentality, everything you and this coaching staff work on, that's the stuff that you can't recreate in practice. You can't recreate adversity in practice. There's certain things, you can do certain drills, you can have your power play practices and some of that, but then there's the real game, actual playoff atmosphere, and how your team responds when they're winning is cool, that's great. I'm so curious how a team responds when they lose, especially when they're not necessarily on paper supposed to lose. And we all understand as hockey heads, none of that matters. It's hockey. A chip of ice one way can change the whole entire dynasty and stuff. But regardless, still a loss and still a team expected to win that game. So how they responded Sunday, I think I was more locked into that than I've been a hockey game since the Blackhawks were in the Stanley Cup. Right. I'm not even exaggerating. I love this sport and I like a lot of the NHL, but I was really curious how this team was going to respond. How did you feel they responded? I know they got the win. That's what matters and everything. But with that, how did you think they responded?
I think they responded exactly how we expected them to. Again, you alluded to it. We practiced this all year. You know, we've had a couple games where we've had leads and given them up and had to battle back. We lost a couple games early that we shouldn't have. And, you know, those pieces of adversity help with the building blocks for what you seen last night. So,
you know, it's interesting. I'm just looking at the shots on goal over this last weekend. You outshot Northwest by 9 in the first game, 11 in the second, but only by 6 in that final game, and yet you outscore them by 5. Makes a whole lot of difference when that puck goes into the net, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you'll see it every time playoffs hit. Guys are willing to sacrifice their bodies a lot more, so there's a lot of eating of pucks, and getting shots through becomes that much more difficult. So when you do, you better make sure they're on target and strategically placed. And we've got a couple guys that can pick a corner and really let it fly. So
we talk a lot about how the playoffs are different. You throw out the records and all of that. It I think that phrase began with hockey because they associate it with all playoffs, and there's a little bit of truth to that, to all playoffs. But in hockey, during a regular season, you're going to see guys fly around a little bit more. You're going to see a little bit more of guys playing the game of hockey a bit. When you see playoffs, you're going to see much more than ever guys diving in front of pucks, guys throwing body caution to the wind, running where they should never go, things that you just wouldn't see normally, but they happen because it's the playoffs and it's just a different game. We saw this a couple of years back with the Florida Panthers, right, where they had that amazing run and a great regular season, but they didn't have a team built for the playoffs. They didn't have a team that could bump and grind. They didn't have a team that could get out there and really push and shove. When they changed that and they changed to more of a playoff team, they saw a real change in that whole entire franchise, obviously. I don't know that there was a change that took place with the River Kings, but I think this team has always been built for the playoffs. Is that the case? Is that how you've looked at it and the coaching staff has looked at it scouting-wise and everything?
I think so, with 100%. You know, even our weekly practice plans are built towards that. You know, we put the guys through the paces. Tuesdays are battle days. And it's all built and based on getting prepared for the clutching and the grabbing and the tougher going, so that, like, when these types of games that we faced Saturday, last night, Friday come about, we're battle-tested and ready to go.
This weekend we got the Squatch coming up.
Yes.
What do they present to you?
Well, I mean, they've placed ahead of us in the standings by 2 points. We've had 4 very tough games with them. They, you know, they're highly skilled. You know, I think we match up very well. We lost 2 games, 1 in OT to them, our shootout, but we won 2. I mean, we should have every bit of confidence going into it that if we play our game, we're going to like the outcome.
There's something about this team where we would love to be hosting these games, and we would love to have the guys in town and everything, and you know, having our fan base right there and everything. There's something about this that while I would choose that, I'm not shying away from this outcome, us going up to Minnesota. There's something about this team that I kind of like their backs against the wall a little bit. They just, the way they respond, the way that they're going to respond with that fan base up there. I feel confident in our team and the way that they are coached. And again, all the things we saw in the regular season, that developing out there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've worked towards this all season. Our fans have been fantastic and they travel very well. So I expect to see a good contingency of them in Minnesota with us. And you know, our boys, when they play, it doesn't matter what rink we're in or who we're playing in front of, they're going to be tough to beat.
Dominic Height, is it?
Correct, yeah.
Dominic Height. I don't have anything. I just wanted to bring him up. Like, how great of a move this is. Like, that, just bringing this kid in. A shout out to our goalies and the coaching staff of the goalies and everything, because they've done an amazing job all season. And I'd feel very confident with any one of those guys starting a game. Bringing Dominic in and his adjustment to the team and getting, you know, familiar with everything, it's such a key time. What did that move do for the locker room? What did that move do for the coaching staff when it comes to being able to go with who you're going to go with throughout the playoffs or a given night?
Well, I think overall, he's a 20-year-old guy who's been here and done that. You know, so he's a guy that's we're going to rely on to get things rolling for us. You're right. We're comfortable with any of the fellows in the net. But when you can get that experience and that age and maturity, you got to go on it, you know. So he's been a great addition, and our boys really taken to him and accepted him really well, and he's a phenomenal fit for us.
Any good restaurants, anything that you're looking forward to about going to Minnesota? Anything?
No, it's all business when we're there.
Right. That's the great answer. That's the right answer. Derek, thanks so much for hanging out with us, man.
I
really do appreciate the time. Say hi to the team. Say hi to the boys. Certainly give Coach a punch in the arm for us. And have some fun this week with practice. Have fun on the trip. Enjoy yourselves. Have a great time. Winning is amazing. We love that. that, but we can't lose with this team. We truly can't as a fan base. We are so fortunate. We've got an organization and a coaching staff and players that we can get behind, win or lose. So we're going to be cheering you guys on from here. A bunch of us are going to be traveling up there, and we'll meet you there, man.
Oh, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Follow your boys in winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Get your tickets and find out more at riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to follow the boys on social media. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see it otherwise. And get ready to follow the Kings as they continue their reign. We will be right back with more show.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid-40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. Currently, it's 66.
Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers on this Monday afternoon. Randy and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I sure don't like that forecast with all of us heading to Green Bay for Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, Yikes. Yeah. That's we got to watch out for that. Safe travels to you, all you guys and everybody out there traveling, of course. And a big thank you to Derek Puttick, assistant coach with our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, for joining us. That was awesome.
That
Derek
was great. Fun, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great job.
Great job.
Let's take a call real quick. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Hey, breaking news. Vikings signed a new center.
Yes. Yes, they did. Yes.
His name is Ryan Kelly.
That brought in a nice center. A couple of teams bringing in some nice guards and centers. A lot of interior offensive line going on today on the first day of free agency. Not even first day, first hours of it. Some other breaking news. The Rams are planning to release Cooper Kupp at the start of the new league year, unless a trade can be materialized. That last part is just put in there for the outlier that it could happen. More than likely, he is going to be free agent, similar to some other players.
He's been mentioned, of course, as a possible Packer, but he, too, has had injury issues, and he's getting, what, is he like 31 already?
You got to be close 32. To it. 32. Okay. Thank you, man. Yeah, thank you.
That better be a one.
Hey, I do what I can to help out the team.
You're great. Yeah, you're awesome.
I love it.
Whether it is a rare fact or it's something like this, man, we appreciate it. Did you have anything else?
No, other than the Vikings are going to destroy the North next year, and
you getting your JJ jersey? You getting? I mean, now that Darnold's in Seattle, and you know for sure that's your starting quarterback. Oh, I think he lost. All right. Well, we'll find out next. We got plenty of time before the NFL season, so we'll find out
We got to get our Detroit Lions on yet. Anyway.
Yes, we do. We do. Who have been making some? I just love that the NFC North is relevant. Yeah. I'll say that too. I wanted to get
Bears.
That out there. Yep. I am afraid to say this out loud. I have been very good with the moves they've made. I've been very good with all the moves they've made. Overpaying for guys or giving up too much here or there. Miss me with that. I don't care. This team is like actually listening to the coaching staff and letting the people that they hired do the job for that they hired them for. Let them do the job that they hired them for. Right now, we don't have any idea who's going to be good and who's going to be bad.
No.
You want a prediction? Some team that was bad last year is going to be good this year, and a team that was good last year is going to be bad this year.
And there's going to be injuries that are going to decimate some team.
There's your hot take, everybody. Yeah, there's the closest you're going to get to an actual real prediction or anything that is going to be correct because nobody knows. But I'll say right now on March 10th, I'm very good with the move. That have been made. And if I'm any team in the NFC North, I would be. I don't think, I don't know if this is an unpopular take or not. I think Minnesota did the right move. Would you have wanted to bring in Sam Darnold for $100 million?
No.
When you just spent a first-round pick on a quarterback?
Especially when you saw how the season ended.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's worth that money. I don't know what Seattle's doing.
You know, a couple years ago, we joked and did a lot of a show on the Lions.
Yeah.
But you know what? The way they played this year with they had 11, 12 starters out? That is crazy. Can you imagine how good they will be if everybody stays healthy?
Yeah.
Wow. They're going to be so good.
It's hard to say because usually I say, well, outside of maybe injuries, you know, we don't know how they're going to do. Even if Detroit does get decimated and turns into a mash unit, I still take them first in the division. I may take them first in the whole NFC. I may take them first. I'm not going to count that team out. I did want to touch on a couple of things before we wrap up, Randy. And one of the things that came up actually came from a retired source in Peter King.
Okay.
Peter King's not really working much anymore. He retired, and this is the first year of his retirement, so he was not at the NFL Combine or any of that. I mentioned this in one because I think Peter King deserves it. He's one of the best to ever do it, and very respected in the league. People who have been retired for 20 years still text him and stuff and reach out to him just to talk to him, just as friends, let alone his reputation in the industry. Well, he was on the Dan Patrick Show the other day, and he just jumped on. Like, he wasn't a scheduled guest or anything. He just called up.
Okay.
Because at the time, there was a lot of talk about Shedeur Sanders and his draft stock dropping and a number of GM sources. All these, I love how the GM sources, and they never want to put their name on anything. What do you guys got to lose?
Yeah.
What you're the top of the food chain. Who are you afraid of? But regardless, they never say that a lot of the arrogant and some of these things, overconfident, some people were saying about Shedeur Sanders, some of this stuff. Did they not know that he was the son of Deion Sanders for one?
Right.
Did they look at only his tape and not his after the game and hearing this young man talk? But there are two things here. One, like, Humble's great. Humble's really good. I want a humble person inside in all this. But as far as at this point in a job interview, I have no problem with a kid being confident. I have no issue with that whatsoever, especially when half their DNA is that of Deion Sanders, one of the most confident human beings that's ever walked this planet. But there's this thing that Peter King brought up in the conversation with Dan Patrick, and he just touched on it a little bit, but I thought was the most interesting part of it. The idea that some of this might be about a greater narrative, that they're trying to do this, that they're trying to lower Shedeur's stock so that he'll go to a better fit and to a better team. If that happens, all I can do is sit back and clap because like a masterclass on this. Now, it's got to happen first.
Right.
We'll see what goes on here and everything. Shedeur could end up going to Buffalo and backing up Josh Allen for the next 3 years. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I remember the year that Jimmy Garoppolo, everybody was all on him. Everybody thought that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to go to a team and start that year. The Patriots ended up drafting him, and he sat behind Tom Brady for 2 years or whatever and everything. Anything can happen. But if that is what happens, and if that is something that the Sanders family and his agent are planning and trying to do, like, first off, man, is that a gutsy move? And second of all, like, wow. Just wow. Way to play the system that is playing all these young men. Because I love the NFL draft. I think it's incredible. I cannot wait to watch it this year. I love the fact that it's in Wisconsin. It's outdated. It's very outdated. It's a very outdated way to... Now, nobody's given me a better solution. I hear people all the time say, well, just leave it up to free agency or something like that. Sure. Yeah, that ends well. That ends real well. Yeah, sure, yeah. I don't know what the fairest way to do it is, but I also understand that the NFL Combine's a little archaic. Some of this stuff is a little outdated. By now, with the amount of everything is... I don't care if a kid is playing at Prairie View State. You've got footage on him. You've got every single game and every footage you need. How great a kid runs in underwear, like how fast he is in underwear, that doesn't do anything for me. I don't care about that. I think it's cool because, again, I love this stuff, but I also admit that it doesn't have any say whatsoever in winning a Super Bowl.
Well, a perfect example of that is we're talking about the tape. Just think whenever they pick somebody, you know, the next pick, you know, and it could be the sixth round, they'll immediately... They've got video that they're showing you on TV of that player. So, yeah, it's right at their fingertips. I also, as you were talking, I was thinking a little bit about being confident and some people's reputations. And it made me think of Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. And I remember Ron Wolf said, I'd never do that again. He said, I really blew it because I was looking more at his metrics, looking more at his personality, looking at his confidence, as you said, than I was at the football player. And just, we could have had him. You know, he said, I think we'd have won at least one more Super Bowl, if not two, if we'd had Brett thrown to him.
I don't make light of this or anything, but I do think that it's worth noting in 2025 that Randy Moss's draft stock fell because he smoked weed. like in 2025, nobody would even look at that. Nobody right. even think about it. Like, they might be surprised he was, or they'd be more surprised maybe if he wasn't in 2025. So it's just kind of funny how this stuff changes. Laramie Tunsil just got traded today, and there's another one where that situation had come up. Again, a lot of money on the line, and we're talking about young men. So any questions, I think, are okay to ask to a degree. But at the same time, for any of these one things to keep you from pulling the trigger and bringing in a generational talent, that is... That I respect so much him owning that. I really, really do. Because that is a little foolish, I think, for some. But it's easy for me to say.
Do we have time to ask you a real quick question here?
Yeah.
What do you think about the situation with Jair Alexander? Do you think that somebody would take a risk on him? Because the last couple of years he's been hurt half the year. Or do you think that the Packers, would he accept Packers say, all right, prove it for one more year, and then we'll see where we go from there? I don't know. What's your opinion?
He's a hard one to read. Unless he's on the field, but I will say that if he's willing to restructure that deal, then everything I was saying before about the high ceiling, low floor, that changes my opinion of Jair Alexander a lot more for that contract. And I'm talking like he's got to cut that thing in half. Like, if he's going to cut it in half...
He's only playing half.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know what? No, he's not worth it. I'm sorry. No, I'm standing on my hill here. I even with a reduced contract, I don't think he's worth it. Especially with all the money they just signed with Hobbs and everything. I think you're better off letting... Both parties are better off starting over. And for another franchise, yeah, I'll take a chance just because, you know, you got on corners. Randy, thanks for being here, man. And a big thank you to the River Kings and all of you for joining us. Have a great night, everybody.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.